الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله واستغفر لذنبك وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والله يعلم متقلبكم ومثواكم وعن أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بلا إله إلا الله والاستغفار فأكثروا فيهما فإن إبليس قال أهلكت الناس بالذنوب وأهلكوني بلا إله إلا الله والاستغفار صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama, respected hufaz, beloved brothers and elders, when there's a fire, everyone looks for an escape route, a fire plan, an exit, some way to get out of the problem. This is not restricted to a fire, it's restricted to any predicament a living creature experiences. Put something living through a problem and immediately that creature looks for the exit. We face problems, we face predicaments every day of our life. But more important than just looking after our physical self is taking care of our deen. Regarding this, an incident is recorded. After the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uthman radiallahu anhu says, بَيْنَمَا أَنَا جَالِسٌ The third khalifa of Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam just left the world. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, all the main khulafa, the rest of the sahaba, all alive. And Uthman says, I was seated in the masjid. Umar radiallahu anhu went past me. He made salam. I had no idea of him making salam, leave alone him going past me. Umar radiallahu anhu took offense and he went to complain. He made salam and I didn't know, so I didn't reply to him. He went to complain to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I'm making salam to Uthman, he's not replying to my salam. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, they both come, to me, they both make salam together. This time, I heard their salam and I replied. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked me, why didn't you reply to your brother Umar salam? He says, wallahi, I didn't even know he made salam. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I made salam and this is, you didn't reply. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then intervened and he said, your brother Uthman is speaking the truth. Then he says, قَدْ شَغَلَكَ أَمْرٌ It seems you were absorbed by some thought. Some thought had overwhelmed your mind because of which you never hear Umar making salam to you. What is it that was going through your mind? Uthman says, there was something that really gripped my mind, it gripped my heart, because of which I didn't even know Umar passed by. Abu Bakr asks, what were you thinking about? He says, تَوَفَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى نَبِيَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَبْلَ أَن نَسْأَلَهُ عَن نَجَاتِ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ عَن نَجَاتِ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ He says, Allah had taken away Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before I could ask him one question. What's the question? The question is, I never get the opportunity to ask, when we as an ummah are faced with problems, when we as a nation are faced with problems regarding our deen, what's the way out? What's the salvation? What's the escape route? What's the exit? I never get a chance to ask him, And this thought gripped my mind, because of which I was oblivious of my environment. What did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says? He says, Wallahi laqad sa'altuhu anha. Don't worry, O Uthman, you didn't ask him, but Allah afforded me the opportunity of asking the Rasul of Allah that question. Uthman stands up and he says, Bi abi anta wa ummi, may my mother and father be sacrificed for you, O Abu Bakr, anta haqqu biha. Only a man of your caliber could have thought of this and asked this before we could ask. Tell me, what did the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Uthman is eager to hear, like you and I are eager to hear. Ma najatu hadha al-amri, ma najatu hadhihi al-ummah. What's the way out? He says, I asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam this question, and he gave me the answer. Man qabila minni al-kalimata allati aradtuha ala ummi faraddahu fahiya lahu najatun. That person who accepts that statement that I presented to my uncle, but he rejected it. Anyone who accepts that statement wholeheartedly, that one statement will be a means of solving every dini problem of his. What's that statement? What did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam present to his uncle Abu Talib? He asked him to accept one statement. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. In other words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, our salvation, our success, our solution, our exit to every problem lies in this kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now we've got to understand, what is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teaching us? What is meant by this hadith? It's very, very important. When we hear something, then we understand the definition. Explain to us by the experts, and not look at our own definition. Sometimes we look at our own definition and we give our own explanation, and that puts us in a bigger problem. On the lighter side, one person went to a doctor. As he went for his checkup, his routine checkup, the doctor told him that your sugar is too high. So what did he do? He made his own explanation. He came home and he moved his sugar from the upper shelf to the lower shelf, because the doctor said your sugar is too high. Now obviously that was not what the doctor was speaking about. This person tried to give his own explanation and put himself into a bigger problem. What is meant by this hadith? That La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah will solve every problem. So what it means is, as muhaddithin have explained, this kalima comprises of two elements. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Two parts, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, it comprises of Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in other words, in any situation that you and I find ourselves in, we ask ourselves, what does Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, instruct, command us to do in this situation? If we look at that, we'll be moving straight. Like a person is moving from some point A to point B. In order for him to arrive safely, he needs some navigation. Call it a navigation tool, call it a compass. Whenever he's moving, in order for him to determine whether he's on the right track, he keeps looking at his compass. Which direction is my compass pointing at, and I've got to follow that. Like this, the compass of a believer, every day of his life, in every situation that he's in, he keeps looking at his kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And he looks, what does Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instruct me? What is the instruction in this situation? What's the injunction in that situation? And there his life is moving straight. The moment he looks at this and keeps looking at this correctly, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala guides him. Now to understand this, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, let's look how they applied this compass, how they looked at this kalima in various situations, and how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made it work for them, created an exit for them, and made them heroes and champions. Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was traveling in the Roman territory. At that time it was under Roman territory, known as a place Caesarea. It was in a seaport, as what we know today is in Palestine. In that area it was under the Roman rule. He was taken captive. The Roman king sees Abdullah bin Huzafa and his companions, and immediately tells him, Tanassar, become a Christian. Abdullah bin Huzafa says, no, ma af'al. He looked at his kalima. He looked at his compass. This is not something Allah allows me to do. The Christian tells him, the Roman king tells him, if you don't accept this, I'm going to throw you into a cauldron of oil. He says, you can do what you want, I'm not shifting from my kalima. Then the king calls for the cauldron, it's filled with oil. He calls a Muslim captive, and he throws that Muslim captive into that oil. Historians write, the moment he was thrown in, فَإِذَا عِظَامُهُ تَلُوحُ, leave alone his body. As soon as his body met with that oil, the flesh separated from the bones. The only thing that came up were the bones. The bones were shining clean. The Roman king tells him, become a Christian, I'm going to throw you next. He says, you can do what you want, I'm not shifting from my deen. He tells his guards, throw him in. As Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu is walking, he begins crying. The guards send the report, the Roman king says, okay, bring him back. So he says, you're crying, what has happened? So he tells him a beautiful statement. He says, لَا تَرَىٰ أَنِّي بَكَيْتُ جَزَعًا مِمَّا تُرِيدُ أَن تَصْنَعَ بِهِ. Don't think, I'm crying because you're going to throw me in that burning oil. وَلَكِنِّي بَكَيْتُ حَيْثُ لَيْسَ لِي إِلَّا نَفْسٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. I'm crying because I only got one soul in my body. وَكُنْتُ أُحِبُّ أَنَّ لِي مِنَ الْأَنْفُسِ عَدَدَ كُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ فِيَّ. My desire and I wish that I had as many souls in my body as the hairs I have on my body, and I could present one soul to Allah in this manner to give my soul before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for Islam. This was Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was faced with that cauldron. You and I may not be faced with a cauldron of oil today, but there's going to be invitation, attraction. There's going to be different temptations luring us at different points. Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu looked at his kalima. What does this kalima tell me? How should I behave? And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then delivered him. The king was so shocked with this answer. He'd never seen someone sacrificing for religion like Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu did. Then he told him, okay, all you got to do is become a Christian, leave the oil. I'll give you my daughter's hand in marriage, I'll give you half my kingdom. Nothing, I'm not going to accept this. Then he says, okay, kiss me on my forehead and I'll allow you to go free. He says, I'm not prepared to do that. Then he tells him, okay, kiss me on my forehead and I'll release the Muslim captives that I have with me. Then Abdullah bin Huzafa says, then I'll do that. For one kiss on your forehead, if it can help my Muslim brothers, he kisses that Roman king and all the Muslim captives are released. When Abdullah bin Huzafa comes back to Medina Munawwara, Umar radiallahu anhu is so impressed with his report that he stands up and kisses Abdullah bin Huzafa on his forehead because of what he did and the great victory that he brought to the Muslims. This is what Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. He looked at his compass. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is appointed Khalifa after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Before Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam passes away, he sends out, he prepares an army of 3,000 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, makes the Amir of that army Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, and he instructs that this army must be sent out in the path of Allah. The army barely leaves Medina Munawwara when they receive news that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has departed from this world. The army comes back. As they come back, Sahaba radiallahu anhum come up to Abu Bakr and they say, we are in a very delicate situation. People have heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away, our leader. They're going to take advantage. They might make an attack on Medina Munawwara. Our women, our children are in danger. We suggest that you don't send this army out because a lot of key sahaba are in this army. They'd rather be waiting behind and defend Medina Munawwara. Don't send them out. You need to keep them here. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he hears all this. He hears every person's suggestion and then he asks them, are you all over? And then they say, we're over. Regarding this incident, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, لَوْلَا أَنَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ أُسْتُخْلِفَ مَا عُبِدَ اللَّهِ. He said this three times. People told him, hold on. He said, if Abu Bakr wasn't made the Khalifa, Allah's worship would not have taken place on the earth. They asked him, what you talking about? Then he narrated this incident of how Sahaba said, leave this army, don't send it out. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, I can never hold back that army which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said must go out in the path of Allah. Even if I'm alone, and even if I know the predatory animals would walk into Medina and drag my body out, I will never hold back an army that Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam asked me to send out. Respect the elders and friends. Then Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu explains what transpired after that. There were tribes around Medina who wanted Arab tribes who were on the verge of becoming murtad. Some became murtad, but many more intended to renegade against Islam. But when they saw that this army is going to fight the Romans, they held back and they said, let's see what happens to this army. If these Muslims were weak, they could never have sent an army to fight outside Medina. Let's see when they come back, what's the results. When this army came back victorious, those who intended to become murtad, those who intended to leave Islam, they said, these people seem very strong, they remain put. The barakat of one decision, although outwardly it seemed, logic demanded, keep the people behind. Abu Bakr didn't look at logic. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't look at what people were saying. What was the demand of society? He looked at what is the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructing me. He looked at his compass. Allahu wa Rasulu. Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is their instruction? We may not have to carry out the command of sending out an army. But every one of us, every single day of our life, are faced with many commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In different ways, are we fulfilling those commands? It may not be linked to the army of Usama radiallahu anhu, but whether it be during this trial time that we're going through, of fitna, or whether it be when we walk into our homes, or in our businesses, or in anything that we are doing, are we fulfilling that command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu upheld that one sunnat. Allah gave them victory. Allah instilled fear into the hearts of the enemy, all as the result of holding on to the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, an incident is narrated of the last king of Persia. His name was Yazdajrid. This was now during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. These people ruled over Persia for many years. This man was the last king. He could see Sahaba radiallahu anhum, these Arabs are walking into my territory, and anywhere they put their foot, they're victorious. No man can stand in front of this group. When they launch an attack and when they engage the enemy never stands a chance. So Yazdajrid was in a problem. He had many men, he had the whole of Persia. But he saw he's running at a loss. So what did he do? He wrote to the next country, or to a country which was nearby him. At that time, it comes in the books of history, Ila Malik Isin. He wrote to the Chinese emperor, the emperor of China. He sent an ambassador from Persia to the Chinese emperor, requesting him for help. That I'm in a problem, these Arabs are wiping my country out, can you send me some aid, some men, to support me to drive these people out? The emperor of Rome receives the letter of Yazdajrid, and then he asks the ambassador, to tell me, your king has sent you. But something doesn't make sense to me. Before I even try to assist you, it doesn't make sense. I've read, that you all are greater in number than the Arabs. According to battle strategy, it doesn't make sense that you all are huge, you are larger in number, they are smaller in number. How come they defeating you? That doesn't make sense. So then this ambassador tells him, it's right what you're saying, we are larger in number, but these people just seem to be mowing over us. Then the ambassador tells him, okay, ask me whatever you want to know regarding them, and I'll give you the answers in case you want to know more. So he tells him, okay, firstly, I got few questions. Tell me regarding these Arabs. The first question he asks is, أَيُوفُونَ بِالْعَهْدِ. Do they fulfill their promises? Do they carry out and fulfill their contracts? This man replies, he's an ambassador, he's the enemy. He says, leave alone, fulfilling their contracts amongst themselves. Even if they make a promise to us as non-Muslims, they fulfill it. They hold it up. The first question. The second question he asks him, what do they do before they engage in battle? He says they give us one of three options. Number one, either we accept Islam, then they'll make us part of them, they'll include us in their worship places, they'll include us like one of them. If we don't accept that, we got to pay a tax, and they will refrain from fighting, we'll enjoy peace. The third is, if we don't accept the first two, they engage in fighting. He says, okay, tell me, do they have anything as lawful and permissible, and things that are unlawful and impermissible? He says, yes. And he gives him a whole list of what the Muslims regard as halal and what the Muslims regard as haram. Then he asks him a unique question. He says, tell me regarding these people, whatever is unlawful, do they ever regard it as lawful? And whatever is lawful, do they ever regard it as unlawful? In other words, do they regard halal as haram and haram as halal? He says, never. We've never seen that. They hold on to their laws like a nail pinned into the ground. They are so firm. Then this emperor of China, he looked at this ambassador and he said, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَا يَهْلِكُونَ أَبَدًا. People who are so firm on their laws, they'll never ever be destroyed. You can never drop them. The only way and tool you can use to make them fall is, حَتَّى يُحِلُّوا حَرَامَهُمْ وَيُحَرِّمُوا حَلَالَهُمْ. If you want them to fall, then the only way you'll get them to fall is, they must regard their haram as halal and regard their halal as haram. Then you'll fall. This is the way we'll gain victory over them. Then he writes back to Yazdajrid and he says, if you want, I can give you an army of Chinese soldiers that are ranging from Muru. Muru is a place in Afghanistan. From Muru right to China, that's a distance of 4,000 kilometers. I'll give you soldiers that will cover a distance of 4,000 kilometers. And it's not that I don't know when one king writes to another king, then the kings have to help each other. But if these people are fighting the way they fight, if these people have these brilliant qualities within them, they are so firm in their religion and their deen, then leave alone us. If they go and challenge a mountain, they'll bring the mountain to the ground. If they want to attack me as the emperor of China, they'll wipe me out. So my suggestion is, don't interfere with them, make peace with them, make a peace contract with them, don't fight with such people, because these people will wipe you out. Respect the elders and friends, we may not be facing a battle like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum faced. We're not facing the Chinese army, we're not facing the Persian army, we're not facing those superpowers. But every day when we leave our homes, they may not be a physical enemy in front of us all the time, like it was by Sahaba. But every time we leave our home, there's a battle that you and I have to fight. There's an enemy you and I have to engage in. And that enemy, that battle, that attack, is on our deen. It may not be always in our lives, but it's on our deen. Whether we're looking at it during this funny season that we're going through, or whether we look at it through any day of our lives, there is a battle and a war that we got to fight and push away the batil forces from taking away our deen. Sahaba, what gave them victory on the battlefield was the battle that they won every day against their temptations. Holding on to what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted, they looked at their compass all the time. What does Allah want? What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want? Hiraqal. Hiraqal was the Roman emperor. He was a brave soldier, a brave fighter, but he noticed every time he sends his Roman army out and they're fighting the Arabs, they're coming back defeated. One day when this army returned, he himself in person was waiting to meet them. They returned, they were injured, they were in a bad state. He asked them, what is wrong with you people? You're so high in number. You'll have so much more artillery. Every time I send you all, you're losing what you've got, and you're losing men. Why is it that the small group is wiping you all out? Everyone was quiet. No one had the courage to answer this king. Hiraqal was puzzled. Then the historians write, فَقَالَ شَيْخٌ مِنْ عُذَمَائِهِمْ. One elderly person amongst the leaders, he had the courage to speak. And he says, the reason why these people are always winning, he quoted six qualities. He is number one, يَقُومُونَ اللَّيْلِ وَيَصُومُونَ النَّهَارِ. The first quality is, we see these people, we notice them. During the night, they're standing in ibadat. During the day, they are fasting. Number, the third quality is, وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Amongst themselves, they don't allow anyone or anything to be out of place. They instruct each other with good and they stop each other from evil. Then, وَيَتَعَاطَفُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ. They're absolutely just amongst themselves. These are the qualities these people possess. Whereas we on the other hand, نَشْتَبُ الْخَمَرْ وَنَزْنِي وَنَرْكَبُ الْحَرَامِ. We're drinking wine, we're engaging in zina, because we are carrying out all acts of haram. نُفْسِدُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَغْسِدُ وَنَظْلِمُ. We cause corruption in the earth, we steal, we oppress people. At the end, Hiraqal looked, he was a Christian, and he said, أَنْتَ صَدَقْتَنِي. You have now come to the root of the problem. This is why we are failing, and this is why they are succeeding. What was it? What gave them the success was their compass was straight. They looked all the time, what does Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want from us? What's their instruction? When we are going to do the same, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will guide us, Allah will guard us, Allah will protect us. Whether it be in our homes, whether it be whatever we are doing, all we do is look at Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith, wherein Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, carry out two actions. Carry out two actions. And he didn't just say, he said, hold on to these two. And then he said, do them in abundance, as much as you can. Why? فَإِنَّ Iblis قَالْ. Because Nabi alayhi salatu was salam is saying, our greatest enemy, Iblis, Shaitan, he made a statement and he said, when I want to destroy people, and when I want to destroy a nation, what do? أَهْلَقْتُ النَّاسَ بِالذُّنُوبِ. I get them involved in sin. Turn away from Shariat. Whether you're doing whatever you're doing, but as long as that sin is lurking somewhere in our lives, destruction is going to come to us somewhere along the line. Allah save and protect us. This is Shaitan's tool. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that's his weapon. That's his tool. What's it? Guna and sin. Let me give you two weapons. Not one. You take these two. And you hold on to these two. You read them in abundance and Allah will give you victory. What's the two? Alaykum bila ilaha illallah wal istighfar. Hold on to la ilaha illallah. Recite this kalima in abundance and istighfar. Turn to Allah in forgiveness. All of us slip. We make a mistake. We go wrong at times. Once you do this, you break the weapon of Shaitan. You break the effort of Shaitan. And now you start on a clean sheet. So respected elders and friends, what we spoke about in the beginning, La ilaha illallah is our savior. It's our way out, it's our exit. It's our solution to every problem. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, read it, recite it, hold on to it, do it in abundance, and this will save you. We need to hold on to this compass. The more we'll read the kalima, the more vivid this compass will come before us. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability to hold on to la ilaha illallah, to hold on to istighfar, and to hold on to every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and hold on to deen as we ought to hold on. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.